globalization. Is it coming? Is it going? One thing for sure, we'll be going from Australia to Hawaii to the mainland, all in today's episode of The Next Step. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, looking at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 556 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
A cold, rainy, thunderous, lightning-filled sky day is in store for us here in Southern California. Yeah, you might even hear it because we are not in... Definitely, we're not in a soundproof room today. So we are recording from my office. And so you might hear that thunder. It's so unusual here in Southern California, you know? It's so unusual. You don't get too much rain over here. And it's in a stark contrast to where we were just a few days ago. Just got back from Hawaii. Spent a few days over there. And I'll be sharing some thoughts about that too. Really wild, really kind of some cool things that we experienced over there. And let me just throw out this, okay? Let me tease you with a Hawaiian word. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. Konami? Yes, rhymes with tsunami. Konami. Konami. It's a Hawaiian word, Konami. We learned so much Hawaiian. I mean, so many words that I shouldn't say I learned. I tried to figure out how it's pronounced. You know, they have a lot of these double vowels. My astronomer was trying to teach me along the way. But fortunately, she's able to read it and decipher it. So that was kind of cool. Anyway, we'll be sharing some more about Konami coming up, okay? It's a teaser. This is what's known as a teaser. I'm throwing it out to get you thinking about that. But I wanted to talk about another stark contrast, and that's, of course, Down Under. Big time's coming for all of you in Australia. Big shout out to all of you, especially our dear friend Laura. Laura puts out a newsletter, contributes, and she's very, very active in the church over there. And I was so impressed and happy to read that last Sunday they celebrated first fruits by blessing of grapes. And why is this? Well, first of all, let me just say, I know you guys are getting excited because His Holiness is en route to Australia. I just read the tweet this morning. His Holiness, the Catholicos of all Armenians, paying a pontifical visit and bringing the blessings of Holy Etchmiadzin, the Armenian Church, to the community in Australia. How exciting is that? Because I know whenever a pontiff of that stature, of a Catholicos, comes, the entire community receives a blessing. It's not just about the church. It's just really... to me, it's always a very special moment when we have that opportunity. And of course, this is relatively new because when you think about transportation, Catholicos has in the past rarely traveled across continents, rarely traveled within countries. I believe His Holiness Voskin the First was the first one. In fact, I know was the first one who in 1960 traveled across continents and came to the United States first time. And subsequently, you know, Catholicoi have made infrequent visits. Now, His Holiness Karekin II, quite a bit in his 20-year tenure as Catholicos, he has traveled quite a bit. I know here to the Northern American, he's been here. And how exciting, you know, exciting for a community when a Catholicos comes, because with that Catholicos comes a very special blessing. And that's, of course, something that as people of faith, you understand. It's sometimes difficult for people outside of faith because they only see a person coming. But when you understand that that is the Catholicos, you understand that that is a unique position within the church, you understand what kind of unique blessing comes. So anyway, let me go back to last Sunday. I just read in their newsletter that they celebrated the blessing of grapes. First fruits. And why am I so excited about that? Because here in the Northern Hemisphere, we tie the first fruits with the Feast of Assumption, which takes place in August. And I know I've shared this with you in the past, but it's worth reminding you right now, because I was so excited to see that the grape blessing was taking place in January. And this is why. Because many, many years ago, back in the 70s, a dear family friend, Bishop Osoy Ghazarian, had come over to our house in Los Angeles. Bishop Ghazarian has a long history of all kinds of, he was one of the saintly people of our church. And he had served down under in Australia. He had gone up to China, where he had actually been tortured up there. And he later became the primate of Iraq. And I had the honor and privilege of being with him at the last moments of his life, when he finally came in to Holy Etchmiadzin, where he expired. I would say it's either 77 or 78. I was a seminarian at the time. But I remember this conversation that I had with Archbishop Osolik. Because when I found out he was down under, and you know, I was at that point, and you know, you're in college, and you finally realize that the universe doesn't revolve around you and your habitat, and you realize that, you know, it's not a Los Angeles-centric universe, but there are other worlds and other places. And when I found out that he came from down under, he came from Australia to visit, and I asked him, what did you do over there when it came to grape blessing? Because now you got to remember, back in the 70s, 60s, actually in the 60s, there wasn't these mass refrigeration units right now. Right now, basically anywhere you are in the civilized world, you can go into a store and pick up grapes. I'm talking about a time when grapes reach their harvest time in midsummer, right around the time of the Assumption of the Astvadzadzin, of the Holy Mother of God, St. Mary. Yes, mid-August. And any other time, all you would get was, well, the dried grapes. You'd get raisins. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah, those little raisins. Grapes. Anyway, you heard it through the grapevine, you saw it on the grapevine, whatever the case may have been. The reality was that, well, anything under the equator, south of the equator, it was the dead of winter in mid-August, and you didn't have grapes. So I asked the good bishop, I asked Bishop Osolik, I said, what did you do? What did you bless? And I'll never forget it. He told me that at the Feast of Assumption, they blessed apples. This is what he told me. Now, it was really exciting because I always thought that, okay, then in August, you bless the apples as a sign of first fruits. Which is okay, you can do that sign of first fruit, the sign, the symbolic, the idea of it. But here's the idea. Up in the Northern Hemisphere, we have tied it in with grape blessing and the assumption that we've forgotten that whole idea of first fruits. That's why it was so beautiful to read this article about first fruits. And it's not connected to the Blessed Mother. Now, I've heard many clergy, I've heard many people explain it this way, that it is connected because that which was born of the Virgin Mary was without human seed. And therefore, the correlation, the metaphor of the grapes are propagated without seeds, and therefore, this is why we bless grapes. Now, you know, you can get into some nice metaphors, you can get into some nice explanations, but it detracts also from this feast of the first fruits, which is basically an Old Testament tradition. But I love the idea of thankfulness, and that's what I want to center on. Because, you know, one of the traditions that we have, and I adopted this only a few years ago, was to start off the new year with a Thanksgiving celebration. And this, we started with our Bible studies and with our questions of faith and with our Vesper services, that usually you wait until something happens to be thankful to God, right? You're cured of something, of an illness, and you are thankful to God. You go through labor, you have children, you are thankful to God. You make a business deal and it is lucrative, you are thankful to God. So we are thankful in reaction to what happens in our lives. And I thought, wow, what if we were to turn that around? And so for the last several years, we've been celebrating New Year with a Thanksgiving celebration. How novel is that? Before there is an opportunity to say thank you, let's be thankful for the very basic item of life. In other words, it's New Year. We have life. We're breathing. Hey, thankfulness. How about being thankful for the very basic element, namely life? And so we've been starting off with our small community and our In His Shoes programs. We've been starting off the year in kind of like a reverse mode. We started off with thankfulness rather than waiting till after everything and then looking at our harvest and saying, oh, we're thankful for the harvest. Because here's the point. What if your harvest wasn't good? Would you be thankful? Well, probably not. What if the test results weren't good? Would you be thankful? Probably not. But that's exactly when you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful for the very basics that you do have. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult to understand. But this is what we preach in Armadoxy. This is what the Christian faith is all about. For instance, lately, this last few weeks, we've been teaching in our Bible studies, in our Questions of Faith program, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, Jesus' formula for happiness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What? What? Blessed are the meek. Wait a minute. No way. This is not what the world is teaching us. Last week we studied, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Wait. You're blessed? You're happy if you mourn? Well, when you start looking at it and you start examining what those words mean, what Jesus was talking about, what he was sharing with us, the opportunity for hope. It's not about, okay, the comfort. It's about that idea of mourn. If you mourn somebody, what does that mean? It means you loved somebody. You don't mourn people you don't love. Yeah, honestly, yeah, just get with the program. You don't mourn people you don't love. You mourn people that you love. I'm sorry to burst your bubbles. Yeah, no, you don't mourn everybody. You mourn people that you love. You miss them. You're sad because somebody was in your life and now is no longer in your life. Physically is no longer there. Yes, of course you mourn. What does that mean? It means you have the capacity to love. It means you exercised that capacity to love. It means you are human. You did something. Blessed are you. Happy are you when you love. And you love so much that it hurts. Wow. Is that what Jesus teaches us? Absolutely. That's what he teaches us. He teaches us that it's okay, that it's human, that we are not God, that yes, we have one obligation, and that is to love. That is to share the beauty that God has placed in our hearts. Wow. Isn't that wild? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. What? Wait a minute. We just had a summit and all the world leaders, business leaders, you know, aggressive, they were there. And they were showing us, you know, like, hey, look at all that. This is what we can do. Wait, blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they shall what? Inherit the earth? Wow. Imagine what Christ is telling us. When Christ is telling us these things, do you now understand why Christianity is not popular? Do you now understand why people stay away? It's not because the message isn't real. It's so real that it's scary. Because it includes an element of hurt. It includes an element of pain. And we're not used to that. Now, everything in our lives has conditioned us to stay away from that pain. From pain relievers to mortuaries that sanitize the death of loved ones and celebrate it and so on. We are used to pain-free as being the model that we want. Yeah. Think about that for a moment. And so what happens? We thank God for the goodness that he gives us, rather than thanking God for the blessings he gives us. To me, a blessing is luck without the element of chance. And I think that this is really how you've got to look at a blessing. When God blesses you, it means you have luck, and there is no chance involved. It's not like the throw of a dice. It's not like the pull of a lever of a slot machine where you say, oh, I want luck and there is a chance that I might get luck. No, when God gives you a blessing, it's a blessing. There's no element of chance. It's luck. And you have that luck by the breath that you take, by being alive, by being having the option to love, by having the option. This is going to be tough for you. I know. Having the option to hurt, because none of us want to hurt. None of us want to hurt. Jesus, in his anguish, spoke to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup away from me. I don't want it. At the end, it's that one phrase in the Lord's Prayer that comes out to us. And it hurts to recite it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the moment that we submit to God's will. When we say, may it be your will. Yes, I have a will and I want all these fun things and I want all these great things. But may your will be done on earth. Yes, right now. As it is in heaven. As all the celestial life, everything that you have right now here in my life, in this earth, I'm relinquishing, I'm submitting, I'm giving it all to you. And so first fruits reminds us of that. It reminds us of that there are blessings all around us. It's not about the harvest being plentiful or anything like that. It's about the harvest in general. It's about all the goodness that you have. And it's about sharing that goodness. So to all of you down under, congratulations on celebrating the first fruits last week. God bless you. And God bless you this week. You have a very special blessing coming your way in the person of His Holiness Catechin II as he makes his trip to Australia, pontifical visit, and you're in our prayers, and we ask that you remember us in your prayers as well. I'm going to take a break right now and play a song of the day as we do every week. Picked out a very special one. We just got back from Hawaii. And I'm going to share with you some, and also about Konami. Remember? I told you. Yeah, that's the teaser for the day. What is Konami? Coming up, Hawaiian or not, I'm going to share with you coming up afterwards. Yeah, we need to tease you with something over here because we have fun over here on top of everything else. Anyway, the song I picked out, Miserlou, this became famous in the West. It became background music to that. What was that John Travolta movie? Pulp Fiction. It was the background to the Pulp Fiction. There was a wild version of it. Of course, those Middle Eastern, Armenian, we grew up with this tune. But it was, again, very refreshing because last week we heard it done on the ukulele. Yes, I am pronouncing it correctly. We were corrected in Hawaii that it is not ukulele, as we are so often, we refer to this small little guitar-shaped instrument. Beautiful tunes, very nice. In fact, if you've ever played it, it's also a pleasure to play, too. Anyway, we always call it ukulele, and they said, no, we're going to teach you some Hawaiian, and it is called an ukulele. So on the ukulele, we have a couple ladies playing Miserlou. Their names Honeka and Azita, and it's a fusion, basically, of Middle East and Polynesian. How about that? Listen in. We'll be right back. Wow, how exciting is that? Miserlou, being performed on dual ukuleles. I'll have a link on today's show notes, actually to a YouTube video of it. There's a great channel that's called High Sessions, H-I Sessions, and I invite you to go there. We'll put a link on today's show notes so you can check out not only this song, but a lot of great, great songs. And once you listen to Polynesian, Hawaiian music, it's kind of like great relaxation. And this was exciting. Yeah, I have to admit, this one was exciting. Anyway, the artists are Hanukkah and Azita. Not to be confused with the Jewish holiday Hanukkah. This is Honoka. H-O-N-O-K-A. And that's what I'm going to be talking about in a few minutes. How do you pronounce all of these, this vowel-rich alphabet that the Hawaiians have, coming up in a few moments? Hope you enjoyed it. There'll be a link on today's show notes, not only to this song, but everything we talk about. Just back from Hawaii. What an exciting place, exciting time. It's our first time going there, first time we've been there. Yeah, it's the 50th state in the union, celebrating their 60th anniversary. We had a chance to go there, celebrate the anniversary, celebrate the birthday of my dear sister Anush while we were there. And let's see, it was four of us that went, Susan and I, Anush and her husband, Ned. And we had just a great time. 4 days was probably enough for me. I don't know about the rest of the group, but it was okay. It is paradise. It is beautiful. Let me say it that way. But I want to share with you some spiritual moments that I had over there. But first of all, let me tell you the nature of why we were there. People say, oh, you went there and you did a wedding. Yes, that's what a lot of people saw. We did a wedding, and they said, oh, we didn't know we can have island weddings with you, Father Bosco. No, you can't. This happened to be a young man who lives there, and he invited me to come out there and to do his wedding. Actually, he's one of my boys, and I got to be careful saying one of my boys, because no, nothing biological, but definitely spiritual, emotional. As a pastor, and we as a pastor's family, all of us, we get close to these kids. They're our kids. And one of our boys, from Cupertino, now living in Hawaii, found the love of his life and asked me to go and officiate at the wedding. So we had a chance to be there. And let me tell you, it's beautiful. No question about it. It is just a paradise. It might be a little bit hard for me to say it, but I could understand people who refer to it as an island paradise, tropic paradise. There is a lot of beauty. And that's what I want to share with you today, because I had a chance to do a little bit of exploration, a little bit of thought process in how this all happens when we went out to the beach. And of course, everywhere around you, you're on an island, everywhere around you is beach. And no question about it, truly, truly beautiful. But I had a thought as we were wading through some of the tide pools. You see the volcanic remains of an explosion that happened, right? And it occurs to you that we're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, the Pacific Ocean, there's many theories, one of which is that our moon actually came out of the Pacific Ocean. The size of the Pacific Ocean corresponds to the size of the moon, and there's been theories that I've heard that the moon actually was projected out of the Earth many millions of years ago as it was evolving, as it was being thrown out, and it went into orbit around the Earth, and the size of it was exactly corresponded to the size of the Pacific Ocean, to give you an idea of how big that ocean is. And right in the middle of it, there's this chain of Hawaiian islands. It's wild. You know, it's huge spence. There's just water all over the place. And now you're in this, you're standing on these islands. And there we were. And I'm wading through the tide pools, looking at them. And it is fascinating because there you see the lava that has now cooled off and has become the ground, has become the ocean. And as you're looking at it, you understand that what you are witnessing is evolution and creation simultaneously. That's what I got from this. That there you understand evolution and creation simultaneously. It kind of like what Darwin went through in the Galapagos Islands. You start understanding that you need that environment to start putting it all together. It was fascinating. And so firsthand, we're looking at this and we're thinking about it. At some point, whether it was a few million years ago or whether it was yesterday, the earth erupted. Okay, the earth pushed. It pushed itself. Hot lava. The inside of the earth was pushing its way up from the surface. And, you know, explosions. Now, what is the only thing that could have cooled that down? That energy-driven liquid. It was puddling. And it lifted the ground up. And the only thing that could have cooled it, that could have absorbed that massive amount of heat, was the water. The mountains, the plains, the coast. This island was formed. I mean, you're seeing exactly that. You're seeing creation, and then you're seeing the evolution of that creation. Because what you're walking on is basically the cooled lava. And then the plants and a few animals arrive, whether it's by wind or by waves or by wings. They arrive. And slowly these things form. They make their communities. They become what we now know as the Hawaiian Islands. It's fascinating, fascinating. And, you know, the lifestyle there, it speaks to some people. Obviously, you know, I'm coming from the city, so it's in stark contrast to the fast-paced. But there is something about the slow-paced. It was kind of funny because, you know, there is something known as Armenian time, which those of you who are Armenian know exactly what I'm talking about. In other words, an event that starts at 3 o'clock will usually start at 3:30 if it's late. An Armenian time will be about 3:45, right? And you know, I take liberty of talking and making fun because I happen to be Armenian. I know that community. But it was interesting last year when I spoke at the Indian Orthodox, and we started an event at 10 o'clock, I think it was, and we were at 10:30, hadn't started, and they referred to it as Indian time. And I go, okay, at least it's not just the Armenians. And sure enough, I think most cultures have that little, that time element that they attribute to the culture. But Susan described it really nice. We were at the wedding, and we were about an hour afterwards. She said, this is a double whammy. You've got Armenian time inside of Hawaii, where basically everything is so laid back that, you know, what are you doing looking at your clock? Who needs a watch? You know, just everything is just mellow out. Everything happens when it does happen. And, you know, that's a lifestyle adjustment that you make. And it's beautiful in many ways. You know, I think it helps people with ulcers. It helps people with nervousness. And certainly when you get back into crowded cities, you have the opposite. And each lifestyle has its own place. But I'm talking about the nature. I'm talking about the beauty that was there. And that's what I wanted to share with you. Even had a chance to do a little snorkeling. Susan and I went out right by the reefs, the coral reefs, saw some beautiful, beautiful fish. I don't know how to describe it. It's just beautiful. Really, really wonderful And I use that word exactly in the sense that it's meant to be. You're filled with wonder. It is wonderful when you see everything around you and how God has put this all together. Now, how about Konami? I told you, yeah, we're going to do Konami. What is a Konami? Have you figured it out yet? Okay, so the Hawaiian alphabet has 12 letters, 5 vowels, and 7 consonants. So I'm trying to figure out, you're trying to go from street to street, and there's names that are spelled with double vowels together, you know, like an AA or an II, and well, in the word Hawaii, right? And then there's the pronunciation of those letters as the Hawaii or Hawaii. And anyway, the consonants are H, K, L, M, N, P, and W. So I'm trying to look at all these. I'm trying to figure it out. And like I said, my sister Anush, she just had it down pat. You know, she was pronouncing these things backwards and forwards. So, you know, we were letting her do the tour guide thing, and that was fun in itself. So it occurred to me that we had an opportunity at the wedding where we could play off of the Hawaiian pronunciation. And I thought I would treat our guests, the non-Armenian guests, to a little bit of Armenian a few words of Armenian, because this is one of the things that I loved about Hawaii, is that everywhere you went, there was a story to be told, and they are fantastic storytellers. You just enjoy their stories, very much in line with what we have in the Armenian tradition, these stories that you have. So let me take advantage and teach a word or two. So what came to my mind? Well, Konami. It has all the letters in the Hawaiian alphabet. It crossed cultures. Konami. What is Konami? In-laws. Yeah, I know. The real word is Hanami, but they don't have the Actually, very few people have the So we just anglicized it, Polynesianized it. We made it into Konami. And I shared that word with them. I says, Konami means in-laws. And it's not just for a laugh, but also an opportunity for us to share some of the beauty that we have. And we did that. In these services that we do, we have an opportunity to share the beauty of it. And I got to tell you, something very interesting happened to me. There in the Hawaiian Islands, a lot of Catholics, but something unusual happened after the ceremony. We had a disproportionate number of people came up to me and thanked me for the service because we referenced God. And they had said that it had been a long time that they had gone to a wedding where there was a reference to God and Christ, and they were thankful for it. And it occurred to me that, you know, this is what we've done. We've taken God out of the church. Do you remember last week's next step, what I talked about bringing Jesus back into the church, where Jesus belongs in order for us to do the work that he wants us to do? I mean, it's an interesting concept, because a lot of times we talk about taking Jesus out of the church, but in so doing, we've lost him. We've lost track of him. Yeah. So let me tell you what happened on the last day. We were there, and I was listening to a commentary on the radio. I think it was during our drive, and it just really, really hit me, this portion here. And it got me to think about what we're doing and how we're doing it. But it was a commentary made by Fareed Zakaria, and in it he describes his impressions. He had gone to a global summit of business leaders. And let me just read it to you. I'll put the entire text on today's show notes. It goes, businessmen and executives are more openly pessimistic about trade. They worry about a U.S.-China trade war that could spill over across the world. Whether it happens, it seems clear that the great expansion of globalization is over. For the past 15 years, there has been no significant forward movement on trade, and many minor setbacks. This hasn't yet translated into large-scale protectionism and tariff wars, but it is a new stagnancy. Why did that hit me? Because I'm looking around in Hawaii and I'm realizing that their economy is based on tourism. And many times I reflect about Armenia. What is its entire? Yeah, there's a lot of industry that's starting up, but really tourism is really at its height right now. People want to be there. They want to see it. It's been voted as this most beautiful country in many, many respects. Economist magazine just a few months ago identified it as one of the greatest spots on earth. And so you've got tourism going. But what's happening is as globalization has stopped, people are going to stop. We have Trumpism here, right? That talks about patriotism, that talks about nationalism. We have the Brexit going on in England. We have nationalism sprouting its head throughout the world. And what's happening is that, yes, he's right on target. Globalization has ended. And it hurts. I remember that in 2005, 14 years ago, His Holiness Karakin II, the Catholicos of all Armenians, coming to Los Angeles, and there was a conference at USC, the University of Southern California, and I was one of the speakers. I was asked to speak. My topic, globalization and the Armenian Church. And you know what? I'll make a note. I can't promise that I'll have it, but if it is available online, please check it out. Not only myself, but Dr. Richard Dekmajian, political science professor at USC. He made comments. It's got to be somewhere online. And if not, I'm making a note, and we'll search it down and put it up by next week. But do check out today's show notes. Globalization and the Armenian Church. What are we? What are we doing as the Armenian Church? How we're expanding? And basically, that's over. That whole process, that hope that we would live in a world where we all understood each other, got along, is ended. And we're coming back to our self-centered little societies. And no sooner had I thought about that than we got to Los Angeles. We settled down. We had our Bible study, our questions and faith session on Monday. Tuesday, we were hit with this reality that two of the Armenian schools here in Los Angeles were hit with vandalism by the placing of Turkish flags in front of the schools. And if you haven't heard about this, again, check out our show notes. We'll have a link on there. But here's the point. And you know what? I didn't really get into too much of it because it was very unclear as it was unfolding. We didn't even know if it was Turks who had vandalized the Armenian school. I mean, it's probable they got Turkish flags, but there's no evidence of who did it. It could just be mischief, right? But in any case, it points to hate crimes, it points to hatefulness among people, and it points to a symptom of the society in which we are living. And it's at this point that we as Christians need to exercise who we are and talk about and take that leadership and say that, yes, as a Christian community, we have a voice about this, and we are unable to do that. That's the tragedy. To me, that's the tragedy. Whereas Jesus stood there and he led people, we as the Christian community, as the body of Christ, are not leading. We are not saying this is what we believe. And just these small little expressions that people come up to me and tell me, we're so glad that you brought Jesus back into it. Would you believe that here in Southern California, there's a city called Glendale, and it is at this point, I don't want to say a majority, I think one third of the population is Armenian, but on the city council, five seats are held by Armenian Americans, and we haven't made this distinction yet that they are not Armenians, but they are Americans of Armenian descent. People claim that, oh, look, there's five Armenians. No, they are Americans. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to sit on a city council. And the reason why I'm saying this is, again, we're appalled as an Armenian community because two of our schools got Turkish flags thrown on them. No, we should be appalled as Americans that free speech is being stifled. We should be appalled that two of these schools were desecrated and became the focal point at which hate crimes were expanded. This is not about Armenian Turkish. It's about being human. And this is really, we should be appalled that this is taking place in our world today. When we had the hope of a globalized society where we all respected one another, now that respect is going backwards. And we get into the political arena. Yeah, we do. And in many senses, this is the fine line that needs to be drawn. When Jesus took the coin and said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God. This is not to say that, okay, we do not exist in this world and we are spiritual beings. Quite the opposite. Render it unto Caesar. Give it unto Caesar. And render unto God what is God's. And what is God's is your life. And that means you do God's will. God's will is for us to reach out. God's will is for us to love, is to help, is to understand, is to walk in the shoes of others. So in that understanding, we can harmonize and become better with one another. We can understand that there has to be peace on earth because we are all God's children. Yes, it is a fine line. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking up about us as Christians living the life that Jesus commands us to live, to love, to share. Now, Jesus went out on a limb, right? Literally out on a limb, right? He was nailed to a cross. And he says, I do this for your salvation. Well, what is that salvation? That salvation is to find that peace is that kingdom of God right now. It's that reality that exists and can exist for all of us. For us to take that leadership, to be the ones that go out on a limb, the ones who sacrifice and say that, yes, we are here for a purpose. Jesus has given us his holy body, has given us the church for us to continue to do the work, to be vigilant against injustice, to ensure that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not merely words, but to actually be the means by which that happens. That the kingdom of heaven is right now. It's happening. It's enacted. And in our church, we can find that. Letting Jesus be in control. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult because we don't want to get into politics. We shy away from politics. But yes, I agree with you. Don't get into the politics, but get into being human, sharing, and not being scared to talk out against injustice, against people who want to suppress our freedom. These things are going to start coming more and more into the foreground. As we see, yes, tragically, globalization has ended. I agree with Zakaria. And that has a bigger impact not only on economies and on politics, but it also has on religion, faith, and the way we understand humanity and one another. That's what we're about. That's what the next step is that next step to understanding, next step toward a better world. Let's leave it for right now. I hope I gave you enough things to think about. This was on the last day while we were in Hawaii, and then we got in the plane, and as we were hovering over the vastness of the Pacific Ocean and really flying into time where, you know, we were accelerating time by a couple hours and seeing the darkness over the world, and then all of a sudden lights come out as we hit the mainland. It occurs to you that, you know, we are in a very fragile position, that there is a huge earth, huge ball out there that is floating out there in space, and we just have each other, we have one another to reach out to, and we better make the best of this world and ensure that there is peace. And we can achieve that peace when we are all focused in on what is important. God gives us a formula for what is important. Now it's up to us to accept it. Here's Susie to make a couple announcements. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all of your support, your love, for your prayers, for all of the kind words that you send our way. You know, we just got back from this travel to Hawaii. It was beautiful, but it makes the point that, you know, we are really a smaller world. When you look at all the opportunities that we have to interact with one another, I mean, I referred just a few minutes ago, I talked about the Catholicos of all Armenians is traveling to Australia. He's going to be with the community in Australia. And the idea that here I am in Los Angeles and I have friends who are in Australia. We have acquaintances that are in Europe, acquaintances in Armenia, in the Middle East, in Canada, people who tune into this podcast who may not get it the following day. I mean, I get emails from people that tell me that, oh, you know, something that we heard in your podcast, and they'll reference a date from, let's say, 3 or 4 months ago. And it's interesting. It's something that I've had to get used to, because in the first early podcasts, I would share some of the emails that we got. But I realized that now, because podcasting is not dependent on a date or a time, people listen at their own leisure, actually binge on the podcast. So some of the points that people write about are not relevant at the moment for me to share, but they're very relevant for them. And so I say this because do not get discouraged when you write to me. Sometimes I'm not able to answer right away, but I appreciate them so much. I read every one of your emails, I appreciate them, but more importantly, I appreciate the prayers. So many of you write and say you pray for this ministry. How important is that? Well, it's everything. That in your prayers, when you remember so many different things, that you also remember this ministry. Remember me, and I appreciate those prayers because that's what gives me the strength and the energy to sometimes persevere against some very difficult things that are happening. Speaking of what's happening, we've got a conference coming up, April 6th. Mark it on your calendar. It happens to be Reclaim 2019. It'll be taking place in Burbank, a one-day conference on reclaiming what's so important in the Armenian Church. This year, the topic is Reclaiming Gomidas as a Vartabed of the Armenian Church. I'll have more about that in the coming weeks, but did want you to mark your calendar April 6th if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, or even if you're not, you may want to make a trip out to the Los Angeles area. That would be the weekend to come on, okay? Let's see, this weekend, I'll be at the St. Garabed Church in Rancho Mirage, And let's see. Yeah, that's about it. Coming up in a few weeks at St. James. Again, we'll be out in Scottsdale. All kinds of fun stuff. Anyway, we are on the socials. You can follow us on all the socials and, of course, at the mothership, inissues.org. We have a revamp of epostle.net, so please be patient with us. If you'd like to get involved in that, drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle is very easy to remember. It's apostle with an E, and that E is for electronic and expanding universe. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath. Cut out!